Let's sing it again now. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other one so kind as He.
No one else could take the sin.
He cares for me. Let's stand. Sing it again with all your heart. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Give our Lord Jesus a big hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? How many of you are glad to be in church? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, and say, I'm glad to see you in church tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is alone. Amen, Brother Terry. Good to see you in church tonight. Absolutely. Brother Brad, come fix this screen. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit more of that song, brother. Let's sing just a little bit more of that tonight. Cares about you? Do you believe that you're in His care? You've placed it all into His hands. He's got it all in control. Do you believe that tonight? We ought to be the happiest group of people in the world. In a world filled with all sorts of trouble, we are so blessed to have the peace of God in our hearts tonight. Let's look at our prayer request. We're going to do some things just a little bit different here tonight, but you'll understand it when we get into it. But let's look at our prayer request real quickly tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says, please pray for Wendell Short's grandmother. She's in the hospital with pneumonia. Also, Joyce Goff. Pray for Timothy Richardson for healing and for salvation. We'll commit all these things unto the Lord. Lana Jones sends this in to please pray for a very special and spoken request that is very, very urgent. Thank you, and may God bless. So we'll just commit that to the Lord. Sister Emily Willis sends this in to please pray for two students at Chucky Doak Middle School. They lost everything today in a house fire. The principal is opening the school on Friday morning from 9 until 11 to accept donations for this 6th grade girl and 8th grade boy. The girl is a size 12 to 14 and the boy shirt size small or medium. Donations of clothing, food, gift cards, and toiletries are appreciated. So anything, if you've got anything you'd like to contribute to that, they would certainly be more than glad to accept that. I'm certain, Sister. Brother Jim Maxwell sends this in to please pray for my sister, Marilyn Buchanan, in the hospital with multiple blood clots in her lungs. So we just want to commit that unto the Lord. Actually, that's probably from Sister Linda Maxwell, her sister, Marilyn Buchanan. So we just commit that unto the Lord. And want to continue to remember Sister Linda in prayer, that the Lord, I believe, is bringing her along really well. And we just commit her to the Lord for a complete healing. Amen. Want to pray for Brother Abe Dyke and family from Texas. Really need a move from the Lord in their lives. We'll just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Want to pray for Brian Arnold. He had a seizure on Monday night, fell and broke his nose and his hand, broke four bones in his hand and has to have surgery. He goes to the doctor for his nose tomorrow. Also remember Sister Aretha in prayer also. So that's just a situation. We just pray that the Lord would just be with that, those folks, just wonderful people, and we just commit them unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brother Keith Strader. He has a very bad cold, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for the family of Eli McKinney. That's the young man that passed away, I guess, last Sunday afternoon, and let's just pray for that family that the Lord would be with them, that God would touch their lives and help them during this terrible time of their life. I want to pray for Sister Susan Weeb from Manitoba and her children. They some situations with child services. They got to go to court tomorrow. They really need the Lord to come to the rescue. So whatever that situation would be, we just commit it unto the Lord. Mary Lewis sends this in. Will you please pray for my mom? They found that she had a slight stroke and an aneurysm in her neck around Thanksgiving. She went to a specialist surgeon on Monday. He said that it is not in her neck, it is in her brain, and they're taking her to a specialist. I guess maybe tomorrow they're asking that we would remember her as we pray tonight. Sean Chapman sends this in, requesting prayer that some medical tests I had done today will come back negative. We just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Simone Phillips wants to thank everyone for praying for Essie. It was very serious. She had a severe, unusual reaction to a medication, but by God's grace, she is fine. They let her come home, but she is on antibiotics for this situation and has to keep her legs elevated. I think I aged 50 years today, so we just commit that situation, that need, unto the Lord. Teresa Lawson sends this in to please pray for Truman Lawson and his children who are all sick. Sister Sarah Baker and her husband, England Ellis. Sister Sarah Baker Ellis and her husband, England Ellis, got some situations going on. They're asking that we would pray on their behalf. Sister Lona says to please remember our granddaughter, Jessica Bowen, in prayer. She is going to have surgery tomorrow. Also remember our granddaughter, Kayla Newberry, in prayer. She has had a very bad seizure today, so we just want to commit that unto the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Jim Babb tonight. He is very sick, and I think he has a case of pneumonia. So I want to pray for Brother Jimmy Babb tonight. Brother Tracy is at home now. He would really enjoy visitors. Please pray that he can qualify for full in-home care. Brother Jerry Glenn sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight. I want to remember Brother Jack Roberts in prayer tonight. The Lord would touch our brother. Also, Tim Peer. He's a manager of a grocery store over in Kingsport and really needs a touch from the Lord in his life. Joe Hara at home, not feeling well tonight. Let's pray for that need. Sister Geraldine sends this in to please pray for my niece, Dottie Grindstaff, who is in the hospital in serious condition. Well, we've got a lot of needs tonight, don't we? A lot of requests, a lot of things going on. We just commit that unto the Lord. We know that God is more than able to meet all of our needs tonight. Are you glad you've committed it all unto Him? You have an unspoken prayer request tonight? something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Bill, why don't you come tonight, pray, let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service and ask God to have His divine will in all these requests. God bless you, buddy.
Appreciate you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, such a long list tonight, and as a human being, it's totally impossible for me to remember them. And Lord, I realized as Brother Louis was reading them that many of them I have no experience with whatsoever. There's things that I can remember times in my life when I had something similar, and many, many others where I have no concept of what those people are going through, Lord. But I know several things. I know that You know every little bit. I know that You know exactly how they feel, and You know exactly what needs to be done. I also know there's saints in this room, Lord, saints around the world that can identify with the different needs of the different ones and take that specifically on their heart, Lord, and hold it close. And with the combined thoughts and hearts of the people tonight, we can reach out and touch the throne. And Lord, You make that easy because You've asked us to come to You. And You've told us that if we ask in faith, You'll hear the request of those. And if any two agree on anything as touching My word, that You'll hear an answer. So Lord, that's the way we come to You tonight. Not begging, not hoping, but in faith believing and going according to Your word and trusting that You are faithful to Your word. So we ask that every single one of these needs tonight be met according to Your perfect will in Christ Jesus. And we know that, Lord, if we ask in faith, that whatever we ask that way, You will come on the scene. So, Lord, we want to thank You tonight in advance for what You've done. We want to thank You for Your grace and mercy. We want to thank You that even in this day and time, we live in the most profitable, most present, most wonderful country in the world. We have more freedom, more liberty, and more opportunities than anyone else. And, Lord, I don't want to take that for granted. I don't believe anyone in this building wants to take that for granted. Just a few little hours in another country, a third world country, and we'd all come back so grateful for the blessings that we enjoy every day, Lord. May we experience that even now, the joy of being a Christian, the joy of still today being an American, the joy of being able to be free to worship You as You have called us to, Lord. So we thank You for all of it, and we give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless all those folks as well. Sister, what we're going to do a little bit different tonight, we got some children that's going to be putting on a program for us. If they'll come at this time, you just remain standing while you're giving in the offer. We're going to get this song out of the way before we have our congregational. And I think their attention span, it's kind of like mine sometimes. It's here and then it's over yonder. And then sometimes it ain't nowhere. So we want to just pray that that these kids, I know you're going to enjoy what they have for you tonight. Let me make this announcement. Please pick up your Christmas card in the library. It's from Brother Donnie, Sister Carol, and the family. They have those for you over in the library. How many of you, well, I'm not going to ask you, but if you haven't got yours, please just go to the library and pick those up. Now, as you give in the offering, I'm going to let you be seated tonight. I want you to watch these children. You talk about some violin players. Now, you ain't seen nothing till you see these children play. And these kids sing behind them. I tell you, it's going to be good. And the brethren that's going to do the song after them, if you'll come onto the platform and be getting ready, okay? Everybody who's going to sing or play after these children.
This year, instead of doing one big Christmas program, I'm going to kind of do just three little spots tonight and Saturday and Sunday because mostly of the age group of the kids. But I so believe in whatever the kids are doing, being a part of their lives and relevant to their lives. And when they're doing music, church is where it's at for them. And so thank you so much for allowing us to be here and for listening to their joyful noise tonight. And I just appreciate them and the parents very much.
The Lord has come.
Did you ever see a thing beat that in your life? Amen. Well, I look for great, great things for that group right there. I certainly do. Now, I don't know about this group right here. We enjoyed that other group. Let's endure this group, okay? I believe they'll do well, though. They always do. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Brother Fred, come. Now, this is probably unlike any service you've ever been in because you've not sung yet, but I promise you're going to get to. Let's get these songs. We've got a lot of songs from now through Christmas, the next couple of services, and we've got a lot of people to work in, so we're going to do the best we can. And if you don't like it, it's my fault, okay? Brother Fred, God bless you tonight.
I travel down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bound me to despair. Oh, I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him gently say to me, my feet were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I worked so hard for Jesus, I used to boast and say. Oh, I've sacrificed a lot of things just to walk this narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. These are the words I heard him speak to me. I left the throne in glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh Jesus, if I die upon my mission field someday, it would be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath a mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words I heard him speak to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hands, then just a cup of water is all that I'll demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Sing that chorus when we. If just a cup of water I place. If just
Praise the Lord. Well, we certainly appreciate our specials tonight. May God bless all of our singers. Let's stand tonight. As Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight, I know you're looking forward to that. We just, it's camp meeting time tonight, church. Amen. Let's sing a song, I Would Not Be Denied. Sing it with all your heart.
When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. No, I would not be
chapter 21. We'll begin reading verse 1 through verses 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Aren't you glad you believe that tonight? Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, when we read these passages of Scripture, Father, will we read them in church or read them in our home or sitting in a parking lot at Walmart and flip open our Bible or our phone, wherever we read them, they are faithful and true to us. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that our hearts allow us to believe. We realize that we're living in a time and millions of people, they don't want you. They have no time for you. Our nation as a whole has turned you down. We rejected you in the Supreme Court, and we see what's happened there. We told you you wasn't welcome in school. Our kids can't pray. We've not welcomed you, and now we see what's happening. If America would look and see, every place she's turned you down, judgment is striking. Now our schools are no longer even a safe place for our children to go. Churches are turning you down. People are turning you down. But Lord Jesus, we stand here tonight. We're not turning you down. We're opening our hearts, our homes, our lives, our church. If the consequences of turning you down, we can see that it's inevitable. We see what happens. So if that's real, how much more real will the effects be of us opening our hearts and our lives to you? Lord Jesus, take your word tonight and speak to us, I pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again tonight on our new home. Our new home is actually our old home redone. Many of you brothers that work in construction, and no doubt you've went in and redone many homes. You've remodeled them. Sometimes it's on the inside. Sometimes it's on the outside. Sometimes it's both. You may gut the entire house, repetition it, do all different types of things. God is fixing to remodel our home. The framework is okay, so it'll not have to be gutted out. But because sin has touched the outside and touched it deep, he'll have to go pretty deep in order to remove all the scars. Let's read, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now, when Peter writes this passage of Scripture, he writes something that had never been visibly written before in the canon of Scripture. He says something that the Old Testament prophets didn't hardly declare in this light. When John is taken to the Isle of Patmos, being a prophet, even John doesn't quite relate it this way. For whatever reason, God wanted Peter to be able to say it. And he says it in such a way that it's been looked at and presumed upon and thought upon by many different people. Some actually call it a pre-Adamite world. Some call it different things. But we want to just go by what the Scripture says and leave all them other terms, you know, pretty much to the theologians, I guess. But whenever Peter writes this, and if it was not for a prophet, we still to this day wouldn't know how to apply it in the first place. We just read it and go over it and say, well, we don't know exactly when it is or when it was, but I want you to notice that Peter says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now, Brother Branham, in Future Home, whenever he relates to this, he said, here the apostle in 2 Peter, 2nd chapter in the 5th verse, 5th and 6th verse, yes, I've got it. He refers to the three stages of the earth. See, he gets three stages of it. Notice how he brings them. The old world that stood out of the water, now that was the antediluvian world. The old world that stood out of the water, the antediluvian world, now that one that is the present world that we live in now, called it a world. The old world that stood out of the water, but now notice where he places this. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, let there be light. But I want you to notice that Brother Branham links this now to what Peter said. He links it with Genesis 1:1 and not Genesis 1:2. So here he's calling the antediluvian world, or the old world that was, the world of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1.
Now, in between, as we looked at it last week, in between verse 1 and verse 2 could have been millions of years. But here it stands in the original place that God made it, the old world that stood out of the water, Genesis 1:1. Now the world that is now present, then again it refers to another one, the world that is to come, the new world. Three worlds, three stages of the world. So this planet that God called Earth, that you and I live on, it will come from one stage to another. In threes, it will actually come into its stage of completion. It will pass away from one stage to another. It will go from one phase to another, but it will never actually become annihilated. Now there will be things on the earth that will truly be changed and resolved. As John says, when he looked down, one of the most outstanding things that John saw was that he said there was no more sea. Now this would have been quite a thing for a man who spent a great majority, most of his life, living by a sea. Knowing that our earth itself correlates the atmosphere and the things of our weather patterns and all of that with the water. So it must have been a very overwhelming thing when John looks at it and sees that there is no more sea. So there must be another atmosphere that Father will bring into the new earth that will not rely upon the oceans and their thermals in order to be able to bring the right type of temperature and so on the earth. Now watch, in verse 6, Peter says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now notice he's not referring to the flood. For it is to destroy, put out of the way entirely, abolish, put an end to, or ruin. So here he relates to a state that the earth was in, and it was a state that would reach such chaos that he chose to use the word here, perish. So the words reveal, show the stage of the earth and this chaos that it was after whatever it was that brought it to this state. Now, the earth was in an absolute place, look like, of utter destruction and chaos. How long it lay there, we do not know. God chose to remain silent there. But it was in a state of absolute darkness. And whenever God begins to move upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God starts unfolding from verse 2, God is not actually now creating. And it has been read this way for many years, and maybe many of you read it like I have, that you thought in your mind that Genesis 2 was actually the beginning of the creation of the earth. But that is not so. Actually, God created, the word create is used in verse 1, but it is not used again in verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, on down for several more verses because God is not actually creating in verse 2 through verse 12, but God is unfolding that which has already been created and lost in the darkness. Now Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but the other steps that we'll see in verse 2 on down, it is not an act of creation, but it is an act of revealing or an act of resurrection. Now remember, in the history of the earth is the history of the elect of God, because we are from this earth and our identity is found in that. So then what God does, God, whenever he goes to setting his heart toward the earth again to use the earth, God chooses six periods and he calls them days. Now in that it's actually what we would call a day, and it seems as if, so if you read it with a natural mind, that it was a 24-hour period, but we know that it was actually 1,000-year increments that God chose to use them. Yet they were day periods, and the evening and the morning were the first day, the second day, and so on. So God chooses that, and in this he unfolds all of these great things up through 6 days. Then, on the seventh day, God entered into a sabbatical or a Shabbat, which was the time of rest. Now remember, there was no Sabbath day. The Sabbath was not a day. The Sabbath was a dispensation. So it was not one day that God rested, but it was going to be a dispensation which was cut short because man fell. In the millennium, it will be resumed again to be totally lived out. So now whenever Peter writes this in, he catches the state of the earth and how the earth was in the water and out of the water. And yet the framework was not touched by this watery bass of the primeval state of the earth when this chaos came upon the earth, but it was the outside. Now, as we looked at it last week, where the fossils and many things that are buried in the earth itself, they're hundreds and hundreds of feet deep, and God allowed it to be a historical record, a geological record. Man has been able to dig around and find the ice age and find many different of these things. And actually, if you look in question answers on Genesis, when Brother Ram said, I've got a picture in my mind, I want to stand here. And he said, we can see the great sheets of ice as they come down through. Now you realize that that is not the creation of the earth. But Brother Ram is actually standing there and describing that as the ice age is coming to an end. Now, for those of you who've seen the glaciers in Alaska and British Columbia and different parts, it's still remnants of the ice age that are still living in these colder parts of the earth. As they've been able to find the fronds and the mastodons' mouths and all this and the other, it is remnants of times that were gone by. But yet God allowed it to be saved and kept in a record, but those things one day will be changed before we go into the new heaven. Now remember, because the millennium is still the sanctification period, the millennium temple will be built on top of this earth and those fossils will still be down in it. Why? Because the earth is in its sanctifying process. So the earth is scorched over by atomic fire in preparation before the millennium, but that will not do for the bride city to come down. So laying there, it is in sanctification, so she will still hold these scars and these geological memories of her past that are still recorded in the layers of rock. Now notice this, so the immersion of this earth after this catastrophe had struck it, whenever it came, it did not go into the framework of the earth, and there was no need to annihilate the framework of the earth or the soul of the earth, but it was able to maintain that, but yet it was buried in here and it destroyed the animal life and all of that. Now were there other dinosaurs that lived after this time frame? Well, you know, Brother Bram tells us in Satan's Eden, we mentioned to God this evil age that there was dinosaurs in the Garden of Eden. Were there different ones than was before? I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not a dinosaur freak. I've never really had no great idea to want to sit down and eat dinner with one. But all I know is, you know, they were there and all that sort of thing. Maybe that's some things that we'll know better off after a while, understand it. But yet in this time frame, whenever we look now at Genesis 1, watch this, Brother Bram in the fourth seal, he says, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, period, that's all. The world was without form and void, and I believe that every seed was laying right there from some other civilization or something. And as soon as the water lifted off and the light struck it, up come the trees and everything. The same thing with the human being, it's a type. When the mist is moved away and the revealed truths to the, watch this now, that real seed is laying there germatized and the light of the gospel can strike it by true vindication of the word, it'll live. It's got life in it. Outside of that, it can't live. Now watch the parallel now as we go into Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now notice the element. The earth was without form. And as we looked last week, that God did not create the earth in this condition, but the earth had fallen into this state. But whatever it was that took place. So God is not now bringing this and this being a stage of his said creation. But this is after something had happened to it. So the Spirit of God sets toward this earth his further purpose. My. Something that he wants to do. That he wants to reveal about it. Now notice, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now I want you to notice now that the words are being used are not words of creation. God was not creating. The words here, let there be, are not creative acts. It is not words that is being created, but let there be light. And the word be light is actually become light. So it is not the creative voice of God. It's not a verb that is actually being used in the force of the spoken word. So God is not standing there and saying, now, I want to make light. I want to make the sun. I want to make the moon. They were already made. They were already made. They were already in existence prior to Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Now I'm going to let you sit there and wonder and then I'll read it to you. They were already in existence. They were already there. So God is not recreating a son. He is not recreating or initially creating it. But what God is doing is speaking to the fog and the mist and the darkness and said, now let this begin to permeate and move upon the earth. Now notice God's order or the sequence of events, how he unfolds it. Now remember, the earth needs an atmosphere. The earth needs warmth. The earth needs life. The earth needs light. So notice how God does this. You and I, we think, what would you and I do? If we'd have been there, was going to brought this great ball of the earth into a great purpose of God, what would we have done first? But I guarantee you, Father did the right thing in the right step. And his sequence of events is exactly right. So he does what first? He brings light. Let there be light, or let light come into view. Let light be turned on. Amen. Now notice this is not creative acts, neither chapter 1 verses 14 through 18, but the light coming from the sun, there must be conditions around the earth that will part away in order for the light to be able to permeate this. Now notice there's a man here who can turn on the light. He said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It might have been 100 million or billion or whatever it was, how he done it. That's up to him. That's not to me, but the world. The earth was without form and void, and water was upon the earth. God's moved upon the water and said, let there be light. Now, I believe that the sun and so forth was already in existence. I believe the moon, as it goes on in Genesis 3 to explain it. But I believe what was here, that the world was going to use it, and it moved. There was fog and a mist over the earth, making it dark. Now notice, it would seem as if though, when you get on over to the fourth day of creation, whenever God's made two lights in the firmament, it seems as if though, and this is where many theologians and scholars have messed up down through the ages, because they act as if though or think that God is actually in that fourth day bringing the light of the sun into creation. Not so. He had already made the sun, he had already made the elements, but he's dispensationally placing them on the fourth day. Because remember, in these increments of days, is the mystery of redemption. Is it a marvel to you that on the third day, the Spirit of God begins to warm the earth and there is a resurrection of plant life? Don't you see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was written right out on the third day when the earth began to break forth? Oh my. So God said, let there be the light, and there was light. Now look in verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now let's look at light for just a little bit. Now, it's not this type of light, incandescent light, neither was it fluorescent light, neither was it LED light, but it was light from the sun, by which had all of this emanating power that would have such an effect upon the earth if it could only get to it. But the chaos of the condition that had brought the earth into this state, it was so deep, and the darkness was so thick, and the mist and the fog was so heavy, that nothing could actually happen. Now, here is the earth, an attribute of God. It come from the spoken word of God. The earth, no doubt at this stage, is millions and possibly billions of years old. And God had a thought about that earth. But you see, the plan of God, even though it was written in the mind of God as a thought, God must help the earth along in order to move it from one state to another. The earth could have remained in this chaotic condition for millions and millions of years if God would not have issued forth a dispensation of his mercy toward the planet and nudge the planet along to be able to bring forth what God wanted it to bring. Don't you understand? It's the same way that you and I. You and I did not become seed. We were seed. Amen. That's why we were reborn. But we needed to be nudged along in order to grow, in order to become fruitful. We did not become children of God once we come up to the altar. There was something down inside of us. The earth did not come into creation in verse 2. She was already created and had been for millions and possibly billions of years. But yet she needed the nudging of the Spirit of God in order to bring her to a state of fruitfulness. Don't you know, friend? That's what many of us are today. It's not that we need to be born again. It's not that we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God to nudge us along in our walk, to nudge us along. along in our everyday life that we can produce the fruitfulness that is our potential. I love this about light. Do you realize that light is incorruptible? Do you understand you cannot corrupt light? You cannot mix light. The atmosphere can be tainted. The earth can become poisoned. Waters can become poisoned with chemicals and all kinds of things that man does, right? The atmosphere with the loss of ozone and so many things can happen. But God made light so light cannot be tampered with. Now I want you to think that God said, let there be light, and there was light. So here is the darkness, here is the chaos, here is all kinds of who knows what the, you know, as far as the chemicals and all the things that was in this chaos that was out on the earth. And God did not send forth that the seed would come out first. God did not send forth, let there be leaves, let there be this. But God said, let there be light. Now because the light cannot become corrupted, it can go right in the middle of the office mess that ever was. It can go right in the middle of that mess and it'll go dividing and separating and dividing and separating. And it can come right in the middle of it and rub shoulders with all that bunch of mess and it'll never affect that light, not one iota. No wonder the word said, let us walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Don't you see why? It is the light of every age that is the incorruptible attribute of God. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Now, watch this. So light cannot be corrupted. Light cannot be... Oh, you said darkness can corrupt it. Absolutely not. It has no way of doing it. Because God made light in such a way that light cannot be tainted. You cannot mix dirt, take dirt and put on light. Try it for me. Take some type of chemicals and put on light. Tell me how you're going to do it. You're not going to affect it at all. It's the same way with the light of the Word of God. Hold tight now. The Word can actually be added to and taken away from. You can add your own idea and hybridize the Word, but you can't hybridize light. That's why listening to tapes is wonderful. Reading the Bible is wonderful. But many folks read them with a hybridized mind. Therefore, they corrupt the word by the way they hear it. The light cannot be corrupted. Now notice, so he says, let there be light. Now remember, this is a quite a word here. So when God says this, 1,000 years unfolds into this making. So light is incorruptible. Light is a gift. A universal gift. The black folks don't have just the sole rights to light. The white folks, Chinese, Europeans, light is all over the earth. On the poor, the rich, the bond, the free, light is a gift from God. It costs nothing. The poorest man that ain't got a house to live in, yet he lives under the influence of light. Right? It is not only a gift from God, it is a very useful gift. You know, God don't give foolish stuff the way we do. He don't give things that are frivolous and things that have no value, but he gives gifts that are true. And light is also as wonderful and powerful and great as it is, yet light is a silent gift. You ever hear light talk? You ever hear light make any noise? Do you understand that light moves and moves so fast that it moves with a divine speed? Light moves faster than sound. Light moves faster than matter and molecules. Come on, church. So you see, when God said, let there be light, it was more than just a few words going out of his mouth. All the values of light come forth in this increment of the evening and the morning were the first day. So as God began to speak about light and said, let there be, this light was already created and brought into existence. And now he's allowing the unfolding of that light during this 1,000-year period to begin to bring the cycle of the earth into a place of productivity. Oh, glory. Notice this now in verse 5. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now you imagine 1,000 years goes by and the evening and the morning were the first day. At the end of this 1,000 years and this dispensation, now Father moves over into another thought to bring forth. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Look at the word firmament. Vault of heaven supporting the waters above. That above and around the earth, which we call sky. Now what? So here the light begins to permeate into the fog and the mist, and it begins to roll away and move back. But the light has not produced fully what God wants completely done. Now the light has a ministry. But the firmament has a ministry. Now they will work together, but the firmament must be brought into the expanse of the heavens in order for the earth to bring forth. That is, all I want's light, all I want's light, all I want's light. But you gotta have dry land somewhere. And the light did not bring the dry land. So God said, let there be a firmament. So the division of the chaotic waters needed a vault or an expanse or an atmosphere. Now here's the earth with all these waters all over it everywhere. Part of them will be pulled back down beneath the crust. Part of it will be brought down through riverbeds. But there must be some that'll be above it. So God said, let the atmosphere return. Let there be a firmament. So here comes nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, all these great things as God's pulling them together by His Word, and they envelop the earth. I'm going to read you a little something so you won't think I'm a nut. The ocean atmosphere system that we live on this earth. The oceans and the atmosphere are the two large reservoirs of water in the earth's hydrologic cycle. The two systems are complexly linked one to the other and are responsible for the earth's weather and climate. The oceans help to regulate temperature in the lower part of the atmosphere. The atmosphere is in large part responsible for the circulation of ocean water through waves and currents. The word atmosphere indicates in general its character and relation to the earth. It is compounded of two Greek words, one signifying vapor and the other sphere. So put together, they denote a sphere of vapor enveloping or enwrapping the whole earth. Now I can see from the looks of some of y'all's faces, if you'd been making the earth, this would have been one thing you'd have forgot. You'd have never remembered this, would you, Brother Dow? You'd have left this out sure as the world. Now remember, He is going to bring this earth into a state where His attributes can be expressed on it. But He cannot leave it, even if the light comes and rolls back and shows there's a mess. You've got to have a ministry change in order to bring this mess into a state that things can begin to grow. Now you can't just pile the water up on one side, but there's got to be something, glory to God, there's got to be something that will make this earth a place to be habited. So by bringing this atmosphere into existence, its character and relation to the earth, Watch what happens. The lighter parts of the water, which overspread the earth's surface, are drawn up and suspended in the visible heavens. While the larger and heavier mass, the water, will stay down below. So here is an expanse. God said, let there be a firmament. God made the firmament, verse 7, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. So God envelops this entire earth in hues of blue. Now watch, the earth's atmosphere is a thin layer of gases that surround the earth, composed of 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, 0.9% argon, 0.03% carbon dioxide, and trace amounts of other gases. Now I wonder, for those who believe in the Big Bang, I wonder how they figure that these amounts were calculated. Who knew exactly how much nitrogen and how much oxygen to mix together? Now do you understand that this atmosphere that we live on this earth, is the only one that has ever been found that can be breathed by human lungs. This atmosphere was designed and created for lungs, and lungs were created for this atmosphere. Oh, that's my daddy I'm talking about. This thin gaseous layer insulates the earth from extreme temperatures. It keeps heat inside the atmosphere and blocks the earth from much of the sun's extreme ultraviolet radiation. So he's not just making this as a cocoon by which you and I can breathe. But if the atmosphere was not there, the sun's ultraviolet rays would burn us up. Oh, thank you, Lord. The earth's atmosphere is about 300 miles thick. But most of the atmosphere, 80%, is within 10 miles of the surface of the earth. There is no exact place where the atmosphere ends. It just gets thinner and thinner until it merges with outer space. Now, brothers, let's let them look at it a little bit. Now, I want you to notice now that God, when he's going to bring this ball into a state of honor and glory, he must change the face of it. But he must envelop it in an atmosphere that will be conducive to match the seeds that are already in it. Oh. So the atmosphere is a reflection of what's actually laying beneath these waters. As they're turning around and churning around, oh, glory to God. The reflection of the atmosphere shows that the Creator knows what is in her bowels. And he is creating or enveloping her, bringing her, being totally surrounded with this atmosphere, which will let her develop everything that's in her. Now, actually, you can't see it in this picture, but there's five layers. Five layers. G-R-A-C-E-J-E-S-U-S-F-A-I-T-H. Five layers of atmosphere that make up this atmosphere that surround the earth. Now remember, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be a firmament in the heaven which will divide the waters above the water. Now look, you and I don't understand it, but this is actually the blue you're looking at. Oh, ain't that pretty? It ain't just pretty. It's useful. It's absolutely a requirement to live on this earth, to have that beautiful vault. Ain't you glad God didn't make it steel gray like a gun vault? Aren't you glad God didn't make it black and put a big door knob on it, brothers, you that's got a gun vault? And aren't you glad God made it so pretty? Now look at the difference as from the horizon of the sun to the curvature of the earth. Look at the different shades of blue inside of this expanse. Now it looks like it's just there and it's pretty. It is not just there and pretty. It is serving its purpose. It is serving what God made for it to do. It has been there since my father brought it in there at Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. And it will be there as long as it is needed. Another picture, brothers. Now watch what he's doing. Look how it stacks one upon the other. On the other. Now all of this makes the vault, the firmament. Who know how to put them in this order? Why do they stay in this order? Why don't the one on the bottom get mixed up on the third one? How come the third one don't come down to the bottom? And how come? Because they'd be all out of sorts. They cannot be. Listen, friend, I'm not saying that man cannot do things to damage this. But you know what, to be honest with you, I don't sweat over global warming. Because I figure she's fixing to warm up globally big time before long. I understand man can do all kinds of things, but my father allowed this to be there. And there's no man, there's no scientist, there's no oil company that is going to change what my father has planned. Now watch this, by the creation of an atmosphere, the lighter parts of the waters which overspread the earth's surface were drawn up and suspended up in the heavens. Then the rivers and the oceans, which were of a weightier matter, what did they do? They stayed upon the earth. So this divided the waters from the waters. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Amen. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. So here God lays it out like this. Why? In order to make the earth a receiver of the sun. Notice it. Earth is the only planet in the solar system with an atmosphere that can sustain life. The blanket of gases not only contain the air that we breathe, but also protects us from the blast of heat and radiation emanating from the sun. In other words, this expanse is God's grace. You know how you can be here tonight and raise your hands and love God and go to heaven? You know how you can do it? Some of you sorry outfits, we're as sorry as we could be in the world. We hated, we lied, we done everything in the world. But what was it? Amen. God had the stratosphere, the hemisphere, the mesosphere, the thermosphere, all those other things all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus. And that's why God don't see my sin. That's why God don't look at you the way you look at you. You are enveloped in this atmosphere of the blood of God. And when he looks down, what does he see? The blood of his own son. It keeps God's wrath off of you. It keeps God's judgment off of you. I found this interesting in studying the atmosphere. The atmosphere is necessary for the transmission of sound. If there was no atmosphere, a bell would be tolled, a cannon would be fired, 1,000 voices might render music of the sweetest hymn, but not the faintest sound would be audible. Because the atmosphere gives you the ability to hear. Now light is wonderful, but light within itself can help you see, but not help you here. Is it any wonder Brother Branham would say you get around people and there's just so nice people you like to be around them? He said they create that atmosphere. He said the songs they listen to, the books they read, the thoughts that they think about, it creates that atmosphere and you love being around them. And there's other people, he said, you can't stand to be around them. He said, oh my, they're going to run this one down and talk about this one. He said, because the atmosphere they create. Now watch, the atmosphere is a great storehouse of life to plants and animals. Its carbon dioxide is the food of one and its oxygen the nourishment of the other. Without its carbon dioxide, the whole vegetable kingdom would wither. Without its oxygen, the blood of animals, which is the life thereof, would be only serum and water. The atmosphere has been made for lungs, and lungs been made for the atmosphere. Animals breathe the oxygen of the air in and breathe out carbon dioxide. The plants take the carbon dioxide, they absorb it, and set oxygen free for the benefits of animals. Seems like to me it's an unending cycle. Oh, glory to God. Now imagine, friend, it wasn't just a, well, let there be a firmament. He has to have all this thought through. What will the firmament do? What will be the benefits of the firmament? How long will the firmament be there? Must I add additionally to the firmament? Or will I put the elements on the earth which will add those elements and they will constantly sustain the firmament from within their self? Oh, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. I don't want to wait till this brother comes to town for a revival. I want to be able to have so much carbon dioxide, so much oxygen, and one will meet this, and that will meet that, and that will meet that. The atmosphere is a refractor of light. Without its sun rays would fall perpendicular and directly on isolated portions of the world. Now notice, when the sun's rays would come down perpendicular, were the atmosphere not there? They would fall straight down perpendicular like a floodlight. And certain areas of the earth would be flooded with the sun. And others would be dark. But he not only made it reflective, but refractive. So whenever the light would hit it, it would come down to the atmosphere, and instead of going like a floodlight, it'd go, who but God? Tell me, who but God could do such things as this? And not only that, but it serves as a contact lens as it softens the rays as they come from the sun. So it comes down and hits this protective layer over the earth. And as it does, oh glory, it don't just flood, it blinds you out, but it hits it and it refracts. It's also a reflector. Henceforth, it's mysterious, beautiful, poetic blue, contrasting and yet harmonizing with the green of the trees and the grass that's on the world. It's also a conservator and disperser and modifier of heat. By it, hot currents constantly flow from the equatorial regions of the world. Even the cold of the frigid zones is deprived of its otherwise unbearable rigor. You see what it does? By having this atmosphere around the equator, it stays pretty much the same all the time. But God knowing she would fall, but he said, I'll still make a way. I'll have an atmosphere around her after the fall that'll carry her plumb through the millennium. Whew. Oh my. Notice, but when she fell, when her God, Adam, her ruler, when he fell, she fell with him. So her stratosphere, her hemisphere, her waters, her plants, her atmosphere, it all fell with her ruler. Watch this, Brother Ram said, Satan is the ruler of this earth and this atmosphere. You say atmosphere? Yes, sir. Both the heavens and the earth is now contaminated with devils that can accuse us before God. Jesus is there. Oh my. Jesus is there to intercede for us. See, while the accusers keep pointing the finger, they did this, they did this, they did that. What in the world has that got to do with the atmosphere on the earth? Don't you understand why you need a mediator on the throne of God? You need those hues of blue and gold to stand between you and the justice of God. Amen. Satan goes up and down, oh, Donnie down this and Terry down that and so-and-so down that and so-and-so. And the, oh my, the judgment of God could break forth. And what does it do? It hits my atmosphere. It hits my spiritual ozone and my oxygen and my nitrogen and all that sort of thing. And by the time it gets done with it and refracts it, there ain't nothing left. What's this? All the sins that's in the heavens above. He's the prince of the power of the air. He wars off, keeps off, wars off the blessings from God. In there comes thunderbolts of lightning and strikes the earth. She was never intended to have lightning. She was never intended to have a tornado. But Satan now broke into the understanding of the atmosphere. Low pressure, high pressure, atmospheric pressure. All these things are the thermals and the currents. And he understands how that the expanse above and the expanse below work together. So in certain times of the year, he'll cause certain storms over here. Other times of the year, certain ones over there. Don't you see? He uses what's there. Look at yourself. He uses your makeup. He uses your flaws. He uses all your complexes. He'll take all of them things. He don't have to create something. Man, we got enough to give him the way it is. He don't need to make something else. So he'll take all of them things that we are and cause this storm after another after another. But he better enjoy it. His storming day's just about over. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. Watch this. Brother Bibb said, then in this new earth, let's look at it for a few minutes. In this new earth, the skies will never be black again. That's from the curse. Never be black again with angry clouds. Winds will never blow across her again like that. She'll never tear up the trees and tear up the houses and turn over a thing. Lightning and the wrath will never belch from Satan across there and kill a man walking down the road or burn up a building. My. No more. There'll be no more typhoons or storms or tornadoes, tear up houses, kill little children and things. Uh-uh. Won't be there trying to destroy. It won't be there. Satan is cast out. Now watch. Genesis chapter 1 verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven or atmosphere. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Now in the third day, the work on the third day was twofold. The reappearance of land from its burial beneath the sea. And the reappearance of vegetable life. Look in verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven. Now watch, after the firmament has been brought into view. Don't you see why the order of God is this verse 9 could not happen till after verse 8 had been fulfilled? There's no way to gather the waters. Don't you see why one ministry leads right up into another if it's from God? Now watch, so after the ministry of the firmament has been established in the earth and is now in working order, now it can go into the next stage of the unfolding of God's promise. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place and let the dry land appear. Now remember, up to this time there was still no dry land. The moisture, the barrier had now, the firmament had now been created or brought into view. And now God wants the dry land to appear. Now before the waters was totally inundated on the earth, and now God has an expanse to separate water vapor. And he also has now a place by which the volume of waters can go to. He's fixing to unfold that. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Now, actually, God is not creating the waters, but he's commanding a separation. Glory. What's this now? Be gathered is a passive form of the verb to gather. It is the third act of separation. Now look what this is going on. This whole thing is the unfailing of separation after separation after separation. So God's going to use it, He separates. God's going to use it, He separates. God sets to separate the light from the darkness, and God divides now, and He separates the vapor from the mass of water. He divides. Now God's fixing to separate again. Why is it we get mad at God when He wants to separate us from things and people that's not beneficial for us? This is God's way. Now actually what God is doing is a reversal of the cataclysmic change that had been brought upon the earth. Now watch. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Now, not that the waters will all be in just one body. Just one ocean or one sea or one river. But they will be gathered to a certain allocation. A certain position. And there they will stay. Let the waters be gathered together now in one place. Let them be gathered. And I hope you understand this, that the waters, they have no commander on the earth. They are not controlled by buttons and remote control. Yet, from where they come from, they go to and return back again. Who is it that keeps all the waters on the earth and keeps the right amount of water? Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 7, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Now who is it that's got big pumps down here on the Nolichucky and the Watauga River that's kept pumping them for thousands and thousands and thousands of years? Now where inevitably do all of the rivers and the lakes, where do they all wind up? They wind up in the sea. Who gets them from the sea? The firmament that was disposed and created by God thousands of years ago keeps the hydrologic power going of the cycle between the waters beneath the expanse and the waters above the expanse. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So all the waters were gathered into a body, into a spot, whether it was lakes or streams or oceans or seas, and there was a law set in them. Where does rain come from? Not first. The oceans. Rain does not originate in heaven. That's backwards. Comes from the oceans. How in the world does it get out of the ocean as salt water and become fresh rainwater? The hydrologic designer knows how to do it, don't he? Now, as it moves upon the earth, and then the moisture will come out of the, out across from the waters, and the vapor and all that sort of thing will make the clouds, and then it comes down to the earth. Where does the runoff go? When the Mississippi floods, when the Ohio floods, whenever the Rio Grande floods, where does it all go to? Where does it go? Notice how it's laid out. Even the continents of the earth, the way they are laid out, they're all laid out to where the bottom line is going to be. They're going to have a runoff of an ocean or a sea near them. Why? They've got to play their parts and go right back again. So here they come from here. They're pulled up here by the power of the sun through water vapor. He will cause it to rain down on our crops, our gardens, and so on. They will run right back down into the water table. The runoff will go down to the rivers, go right back down into the sea. And it keeps going over and over and over and over again. And you're scared He can't take care of you. Oh my, can you imagine the earth, if the earth had an electric bill, how much it'd be? Can you imagine how much a power bill would be on the earth, or a water bill, or an energy bill, and yet my daddy takes care of every bit of it? If he can do that, and look, he did not make you for this earth. He made this earth for you. Now watch, so the second fold of this third day is to make the dry land appear. So the land had been created before, already, in God's mind of what it would be. It had the potential to produce green grass, pink flowers, blue flowers, all kinds of things. But here it is, covered over with water. So the light illuminates the condition it's in. Then the expanse makes a way for part of the chaos to be lifted up off of it and divided. Now the next phase is, let the dry land appear. Now what to you and I might seem like very simple words, can you imagine all that is involved in those few words? Whenever there is so much water on this earth, it could have been miles deep. The oceans are already full. The rivers are already full. But he says, and simply puts it, let the dry land appear. Notice this is not a creative act. It's a further unfolding of the work of grace. You understand? It's a further unfolding of the work of grace. Now what lay in those words? Let the dry land appear. The expanse has already been made. Now remember, these waters cannot just... Whew, they're heavier. They're separated where they belong. They do not belong up there. They belong here. Lord Jesus. So the earth now has the seeds in it. But it's still not at the state to where it can bring forth. Because it's not dry. So he says, let the dry land appear. Appear. And it was so. I want you to notice in Psalms 104, and we'll close. Who laid the foundations of the earth? That it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. But notice what happened. At thy rebuke, they fled. At the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. What must have went on? Well, since I know my daddy kind of likes toying around with volcanoes, now, can you imagine the animals that have died and all these different things that are laying on the earth? And he says, let the dry land appear. And his word goes out, getting into the bowels of the air. And she starts churning from within her. Hot lava. Starts shooting up. Before long, you look and see the Swiss Alps. You look up and see Banff. Wasn't called Banff then, but you see the Canadian Rockies. You look down through Colorado, and there they are. You ever notice how the majority of the continents run? You ever notice how the major mountain streams, the mountain chains, how they run perpendicular with the circles around the earth? It's all laid out by divine plan. So now watch as it goes to churning. He loves planting mountains. He loves working with volcanoes. So you imagine this is belching up and the mountains are getting higher and higher and higher. And it's spewing out and there's Mount Everest. Over here is all Mount Kilimanjaro down in Kenya and Tanzania. Here's this one and here's that one in the mountain range. And it starts getting higher and higher and higher. And as they're getting higher, the land is raising, which is making low spots. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. Well, you figure if he said, let there be a bride, you reckon it won't be so? There will be a rapture and you think it won't be so? If he done all this and it was so, anything else he wants, it'll be so. Oh, glory to God! Listen. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Let's close out tonight. What is this third day now? The resurrection. The first day wasn't the resurrection. The second day wasn't the resurrection. But the third day was the resurrection of life. Praise the Lord. So no wonder the Mount of Olives was split in half. Brother Brent said, out of there we'll push up a mountain. Because the sea will be gone. And a mountain will push up out of the earth. And this city will come down and cap off the mountain. Once again, my daddy playing with volcanoes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you see why there'll be no more sea? The temperature will no longer need it to correlate with the expanse of the heavens. We need it now. The Sea of Galilee and the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea and all those other seas, there's a reason for them. But when she gets her change, she'll no longer need the oceans, the vast oceans. Look at the oceans. You can't grow in them. You can't plant in them. Yeah, they take up the majority of the earth's surface. But in the new birth of the earth, they're no longer needed. Praise God, because the atmospheric changes will be totally regulated from the throne, not the ocean. Lord Jesus. Can't you see that same work of God? Now you imagine it took him 6,000 years, not in creating, but just in cleaning up all this mess. 6,000 years to clean up all this mess. Starting in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. And you figure he's getting tired of fooling with you. And you're how old? 50 some? 40 some? 60 some? You imagine those years when he said, let the dry land appear. And all of a sudden, maybe just a little one. Satan sent him out. Watch this. What's he doing now? May have took him who knows how long. And time would come to the close at the end of the day. Here the mountains are sticking up. The dry land has now appeared. But it still don't look like what he wants it to look like. It's actually a couple more thousand years to its finale. But God said, it's good. It's real good. We look at ourselves on the first day and the second day and the third day and we get so discouraged. Don't look at yourself through your eyes. Look at yourself through His eyes. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You tonight, Father. Lord, Your greatness just overwhelms us. How many more things, thousands times thousands of laws and regulations of chemicals and all these sort of things that's in this home of ours. You knew man would come, and man's a destroyer in his fallen nature. You knew what they would do. But yet even in this earth, You left it in such a state that even in the fall of man, it would carry through to the other side and us should get our body changed. Thank You for doing that, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd look at us tonight. Maybe some here tonight's in the first day of creation, or the second or the third. Maybe some have come down through day four when the lights come into clear view, an unclouded day. Some come down through day five or through day six when man was brought upon the earth. Lord, inevitably we all want to go to day seven when You enter into that place of rest. Lord Jesus, while we're in this journey, living in this blessed, wonderful place You've made, because Satan, Your enemy, has now taken charge of this place, we have all these things to deal with. Troubles, heartaches, difficulties. You never promised us it'd be easy, but You promised us You'd be with us. So we're asking for Your help tonight, Lord. May You keep me in an atmosphere. Keep the wrath off of me. Keep these craters. Keep these things from outer space, so to speak. Lord, even we know with much of the space debris, when it comes in the Earth's atmosphere burns up much of it because it's a protector. In the atmosphere, You coded that it would be a refractor to where the rays would not burn us up. Then a reflector and a protector. You made it so that it would maintain a certain temperature on the inside. Keep us from the harshness of the outside. Then I think of us being Christians. If our earth is protected with such an atmosphere, what about a child of God filled with the Holy Ghost? We're in this world, but we're not of it. But if we'll submit, we've got reflection and reflection and refracting. We've got all these things in our lives that'll help us, Lord, if we'll only utilize them. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Make us more like You, Father. We love You, Lord God. You love Him, saints, with all your heart. Amen. Let's ask the minister brothers if they come up. We're going to offer prayer for Brother Eddie. He's got some needs in his body, real desperate things that he needs from the Lord. Just pray for him tonight that God will help him. Heavenly Father, You see these needs, Lord Jesus, in his body. Lord God, we bring You before You tonight, Lord. We believe You're the same one come upon this earth in the beginning when the Spirit of God saw in this chaos. You began to unfold Your mercy to the Lord. These bodies are made of this earth. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus, You'd help Him to that, Lord. You know these things that's going on in His body, Lord. You see, dear God, these urgent things that are pressing against Him. Father, we join our faith. We believe that it's the same faith that You had when You said, let there be light. You believed Your own word. We believe Your word tonight, God. And it's written in Your word, Father, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Again, it's written, if any two on earth is touching anything, it shall be done. Father, I pray You would help him tonight, Lord. May Him move for Him, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, may the healing virtue touch Him tonight, Lord God. Minister to Him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus. We bring our fivefold atmosphere between us and the judgment seat of God. We bring that which keeps the justice of God away, the judgment of God away, the wrath of God away. That which we are protected and totally enveloped in the blood of the Lord Jesus. So I don't understand exactly how it all works, but I know if I'm in you tonight and I'm praying in your name and there's nothing in my way, even though these people hear my voice, you don't hear mine. You actually hear the voice of Jesus himself. Lord God, you saw the needs of your children. Heavenly Father, so we come. We come to you tonight, oh God, through our atmosphere, our protection, oh glory, conducive of being a son and daughter of God. This atmosphere was made for sons of God, and sons of God were made for this atmosphere. These heavenly places that we're in tonight were not created for angels, they were created for us, and we were created for them. So, Lord God, I bring them to you tonight, Lord. Those that are sick, those that are weary, whatever their needs are, Lord God, I pray you'd minister to them tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, we love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in. Let's sing it together. Oh, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, oh Jesus. I pray for these prayer calls tonight, dear God. You know the needs, Father. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. May your anointing go with them, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God bless you, saints. See you, Lord, willing this weekend. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord.